Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You've got a runny nose and cough and congestion. Have you caught a cold or this flu that's going around? Or is it allergies? My guest is Dr. David Hill of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. So how do we tell the difference? This, as a pediatrician, you must see parents coming in all the time. Is this a cold? Is it the flu? Or is it allergies? How do we tell the difference?
Boy, that can be really difficult, Melanie. It's challenging for us as pediatricians often. There are some things that you can look for. For example, probably the easiest is a fever. Allergies just don't cause a fever. So a fever is going to be an infection, almost always a viral infection. Most of these things are viruses. Is it influenza or one of the other thousands of viruses that can cause a cold? That's kind of up to the doctor to decide. We will often run an influenza rapid test. Some places have more specific viral tests that they can run, although they take a little longer to run. The rapid test doesn't show every single case of flu out there. So you may get a rapid test, but everything looks 100% like flu, and the doc may still decide to treat your child as though they have flu based on everything else. You may get a positive rapid flu test, and then you pretty much know what you're dealing with and what you can do. Flu, by the way, you can only really treat in the first 48 hours, so you want to get in really quickly if your child has flu symptoms and a high fever. Allergies can be a lot harder to figure out. As a general rule, colds and flu are pretty much done after 14 days. So one clue is that your child has had a stuffy, runny nose that's been going on more than 2 weeks. Another clue is itchiness. Allergies tend to itch. So if you see that your child is constantly rubbing his or her nose, rubbing at the eyes, itching their skin, it sure takes you down an allergy pathway. Kids with allergies will also sometimes have sort of dark circles under their eyes or lines under their eyes or a line across the bridge of their nose where they're always rubbing their nose. And those can be physical exam findings that suggest to the doctor that allergies are present. Sometimes you know that there's a trigger. They go over to a friend's house where there's a dog or a cat or, gosh forbid, somebody who smokes, and their face blows up when they get over there. That used to happen to me, by the way, when I was a kid. If I touched a dog, boom, you know, right there. That was it. So if there's an identifiable trigger, that's a great sign that a child has allergies. Sometimes when we as doctors look at the child, we will see things like in the nose. We'll see that there's swelling up in the nose and looks all kind of bluish and pale up there and full of watery discharge. We're like, yeah, that looks really allergic. There are findings at the back of the throat or in the eyelids that can also suggest allergies. There are some simple lab tests. A lot of us don't do this anymore because we don't have this kind of lab in our office, but back when I was training, you could actually have the child blow their nose into a saran wrap, and you could stain it and look at it under the microscope. I know, gross, it's the kind of thing we like doing, though. And if you saw these cells called eosinophils under the microscope, you'd know that was allergies. But when it gets real mysterious, we will often, either in our own offices or in an allergist's office, test them to see if we can find things that they're allergic to. And those tests can be done in a couple of ways. The gold standard is still probably the scratch test, where they take the potential allergens and put them in just little scratches on the child's back and see if the child's skin reacts to these things. But there are now also blood tests that we can do, and they're getting better at discovering certain allergens. The key to any testing is knowing what to look for. And sometimes that's where an allergy specialist has an advantage over a general pediatrician. They may have a particular expertise in what sorts of pollens and molds and fungi are around in your particular area at your particular season that they should be looking for.
Well, that's so true, because the time of the year is so crucial to being able also to tell if it's really there's a flu outbreak going on, or everybody's got a cold, or the leaves are falling and there's mold everywhere. You know, so there's certain times of the year that I would suspect are more prevalent for each different thing. Now, speak about the treatments a little bit. So you spoke about the treatments for flu, but for a cold versus allergy, I mean, yeah, what do we do?
Boy, I hope that I'm the one to come up with a really good cold treatment one day, Melanie, because that would be, like, awesome. We don't have great cold treatments right now still. And honestly, we're moving more and more toward, like, what your great-grandparents would have done for a cold. It turns out that they were right about a lot of this stuff. Honey, for example, is a great cough suppressant for children who are greater than 1 year old. Now, honey is dangerous for infants because it can still carry botulinum toxin, which can be deadly. So if you got a baby under a year old, you might use corn syrup, such as Cairo syrup, in place of the honey. But you can't use honey under 1 year of age. But over a year of age, honey has actually proven to be better than most cough syrups at suppressing a cough. A vaporizer in your child's room can make your child more comfortable. We don't love steam vaporizers around kids because they can actually lead to steam burns. So we prefer using cool mist vaporizers, but those you need to clean out on a daily basis with a little mild bleach solution so that they don't get fungus and mold in them. Vicks VapoRub, I don't know if I can mention a brand name, but
sure,
they did a study on that type of mentholated VapoRub. And yeah, the study actually showed it worked, and I have to say I was rather skeptical. I never thought that stuff did anything.
I use it on my kids. I put on their chest any kind of mentholatum product or under their nose, and it helps them to breathe at night. Now, what about, like, neti pots?
You know, neti pots are seeing a resurgence and a lot of popularity. There are a variety of ways to squirt saline in a child's nose. If you have an infant, you can make saline drops at home just with a half a teaspoon of salt and one cup of water. If you want to be really good about it, you can boil it and then let it come back to room temperature so you know there's nothing in that water and the salt's all dissolved.
Yeah, good luck getting a kid to try and do the neti pots, have it go in one side and out the other. Oh, my God.
It can be difficult.
Oh, yeah.
There are kids who do it. They do. And then you can get these squirt bottles that are sometimes a little, they take a little less coordination. All you got to do is squirt it up in the nose. If you do that, you're making your own solution, though. Do boil the water or use distilled or purified water. There are a handful of cases where tap water or fresh water can cause a really dangerous brain infection. It doesn't happen often, but you really want to make sure if you're using a neti pot that that water is sterilized in some way.
Now, what about allergy treatments? Do you like Claritin? Do you like the over-the-counters that are out there, only prescription? What are you thinking?
You know, the over-the-counter antihistamines are a great start. Anymore, we almost always start with one of the second-generation ones, such as loratadine, that don't tend to make kids sleepy. That said, in kids who are not responding to an antihistamine, probably the most effective single thing is inhaled nasal corticosteroids, things like fluticasone or mometasone, that they put in the nose every day to calm down the inflammation. I tell parents, by the way, the steroids are not going to grow muscles in your nose. It's not that kind of steroid. It's the other kind of steroid. And they seem to have very few side effects for most people, and they tend to be very effective at controlling allergy symptoms. The tough thing is you do need to use them every day, at least during the child's allergy season. So if you taper off, guess what? They're not going to keep working. You have to use them. They're not really an as-needed medicine so much as a preventive medicine.
So wrap it up in the last, we've got about a minute. Wrap up the whole thing of telling the difference between the cold and allergies and the best ways to treat the allergies.
You bet. If it's a fever, it's almost certainly not allergies. That's a cold or flu. Or if the fever goes on more than 3 days or comes back late in the illness, that could be a sinus infection that needs antibiotics. If your child has a seasonal runny nose or a runny nose every time they come in contact with a certain allergen or they're really itchy, chances are much higher that it's allergies. And then there are a variety of over-the-counter and prescription medicines, as well as allergy immunotherapy, that can help with those symptoms or even make them go away.
Well, there you go. So look at the time of the year. Look at whether or not these symptoms stay or go. See your pediatrician. Know that if there's a fever involved, it's definitely not allergies. So parents, you know, we have to wash our hands, whether it's allergies or a cold or the flu. We all have to be washing our hands and making sure our children do as well. This is all great advice. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.